Some of you look real tired. I don't know if that's good or bad. Anyway, it's good to see y'all out on a Wednesday night. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. And here it is, what most churches have turned away from. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Don't be surprised if you come in church and you don't like what the preacher is saying all the time, because I'm going to tell you what, it's his job to reprove and rebuke you. What makes people mad is not so much what the preacher said, it's what God tells them, and they don't do what God tells them to do. They're not obedient to the Word, and they get upset. But the Bible charges the preacher to preach the Word and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And if he's in the Bible, I say it's right tonight. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. We find ourselves there tonight. Most people, if you ask them how to get to heaven, they couldn't tell you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's only one way to heaven, and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to heaven except by Him. There was a woman one time that she heard a man preaching on the radio, and she met the guy, the preacher in town, and said, did you like my preaching that you heard on the radio? And the lady said, no. She said, I believe heaven's like the post office. All roads in town lead to this post office. And that preacher looked at that woman and he said, I ain't got but one problem with that. He said, when I die, I ain't looking for the post office. I'm glad tonight I'm washed in the blood. And I'm glad tonight Jesus is the only way. And I'm glad if you're rich, poor, black, white, red, yellow, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter if you ain't got two nickels in your pocket to rub together, I'm glad tonight the Lord loves us and He'll save you tonight. I'm glad tonight we're in a church that preaches the truth tonight. And I'm glad our children are being taught the truth. We live in a day where liberal folks have come out of the day and age of seminars and they've turned away from preaching. I'm glad tonight that we can hear the truth and we can live the truth because we've heard the truth. Verse number 5 says this, but watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Let us pray. Father, I need Your help tonight, Lord. I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I'm glad it's forever settled in heaven tonight, Lord. And when this world's burning up, Lord, Your Word will still stand, Lord. Lord, I come as a needy preacher tonight, Lord, needing Your help, needing Your touch, Lord. I pray, Lord, You speak to one heart in here tonight, Lord, and give them what they need, Lord. And if You'll show up, Lord, we'll know that You'll do the preaching, Lord. I thank You for all You're going to do. Thank You for our church. Thank You for all Your many blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to look at this story right here found in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want to preach on this subject tonight. I've stayed in the fight. And I finished right. I've stayed in the fight, and I finished right. You know, a lot of times we watch that NASCAR race. Any of y'all like NASCAR? You know, the only part I like is that finish. I love it. I love it. it's probably been 10 years ago, where I work at, I'd won a package, and they gave me 6 laps to drive around Talladega Racetrack. And I was probably the most dangerous person out there. I wasn't used to doing 180 miles an hour. Any of y'all? But they gave me 6 laps to drive around that, you know, and I remember what they did is they took us around in that track, and they took us in a little class at first, and they sat us down, and they gave us a 30-minute spiel of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And there was more shouldn't do's than we should do, and that was a good thing, because a redneck like me, all I know is put that thing on the floor and see what it'll do. That's all I knew. And they took us out on that track after they gave us that class, and they took us out on that track, and I never had been on a NASCAR track. I never walked on one. I never been around one. And they put us all in a dually, and they took us around that track. And he said, I want y'all to know this. This is what it's going to do if you get down to about 45 miles an hour. And he let that dually go from 100 down to about 45. You know what it felt like? It felt like we was going to turn over. You know why? Because them walls were perfectly sloped to keep that car on the track. But I said all that to say this. I watched that NASCAR, you know, for one reason. I want to see how they finish. I cut grass for a church, and I've been doing it for several years down up above my house since I was 15 years old. I've cut that churchyard. And as I cut that churchyard, I look at those graves. And I've noticed this on every grave. There's a starting year when somebody was born. And then some of them don't have a year that they passed away yet, but some of them do. They have a year that they passed away. But I noticed between that where they was birthed into this world and the date they was taken out of this world, you know, there was something in between that. You know what it was? It was a little thing called a dash. I wonder tonight what we would do with that dash that God's given us. Paul, when he was preaching this message to Timothy, and he was teaching him about the things of the church and how the church, about doctrine, how things should be going in the church, Paul was doing something very interesting here. Paul was on the last stages of his life. Paul was, he was about to hand down his ministry to a preacher boy, and he said, my own son in the faith. No doubt Paul had led Timothy to the Lord. Timothy was Paul's preacher boy. And Paul was fixing to leave that ministry to Timothy. And Paul, I can imagine Paul telling Timothy this as he was penning down these words. He said, I stayed in the fight and I finished right. You see, when God saved you, He put you in a fight. He put you walking with Him. And it's up to you what you're going to do with that dash that I talked about. Paul, in this story, you know what he was doing? He was writing his obituary. You know what you're doing every day of your life? Whether you know it or not, you're writing your own obituary. If you were to read the Roman Times back then, and Paul was writing it down for Timothy, he would have pinned down what he wrote down in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, 1 through 8. And that would have been his obituary. Paul said, Timothy, guess what? I stayed in the fight, but I finished this thing right. I'm here tonight to charge you and to challenge you to not only just be in this thing, but to be in it to finish right. You see, it's not all in how you start. You see, when they line those NASCAR cars up one by one, they line them up by how they finished the night before, right? On Saturday night, they have that qualifying race. And they say, we'll put you, you know, number 13, number 14. And you know what? It doesn't really matter where those guys are when they start. But you know what? It does matter when they finish. You know why? Because each one of them wants to finish number one, don't they? But I'm not running this race to be number one. You know what I'm running this race for? I'm running it to finish it right. To finish with the way the Lord Jesus Christ would have me to finish it. Not to get on the bus with my head down. Paul was writing that obituary. He said, Timothy, I stayed in the fight, but I finished this thing right. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you're in this thing, whether you like it or not, but I'm here to charge you and challenge you tonight to stay in it to finish right. Why? Because there's some little ones that went downstairs that wants us to finish this thing right. And we need to finish this thing right because the people before us finished this thing right. And Paul was leaving that off to Timothy. I want to say, first of all, he expressed his charge. His charge. Look in verse number 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in His kingdom. You say, who is he giving this charge to? He's giving it to Timothy. Timothy was about to take over Paul's ministry. Timothy was about to take the care of the churches that once was on Paul's shoulders, was fixing to be taken down to somebody else's mantle, and it was for them to shoulder. Let me tell you what, there's some kids coming up. I taught the teenagers not long ago. I said, y'all are the church of tomorrow. You know who it is for us to do? It's for us to train them right and to teach them right. That's why we ought to be in the doctrine. We ought to preach the Word so that the ones coming up behind us, you know what they're going to do? They're going to preach it just like we did. They're going to say it just like we did. They're going to sing the songs that we sung. Miss Sherry plays that piano. You know what those kids are learning from her? They're learning how to play that piano. It's very important in the church. If you ever had to go to a church and they didn't have any music, I tell you what, it's a tough time. And I've done it before. But I want to say this. I'm glad tonight what we have. Paul said, I stayed in the fight and I finished right. He gave Timothy his charge. He said, I'm going to leave you this thing and that I'm leaving behind you with the ministry, and I want you to finish this thing right. He said, I want you to do it just like I did. He said, I've taught you in the faith. I've showed you how to do it, and I'm leaving it behind. And his obituary just lined it up. And he said, I stayed in the fight and I finished right. First of all, he expressed his charge. I want to say, secondly, Paul embraced his call. Paul had a call on his life, didn't he? We all know Paul's story on Acts chapter number 9, what happened to him when he's on the road to Damascus. You wouldn't have liked to meet Paul before he got saved. I'm going to tell you that. Paul would have come in here, if you read the book of Acts chapter number 8, it said he was on letters from the governor or the king or in charge, the guy in charge, to go take anybody who was practicing Christianity and pull them out of the church and stone them and kill them. That's what he was going to do. Paul was trying to put out Christianity. He was doing everything he could to kill God's church. I want to say tonight, I'm glad you can't kill God's church. As much as you think that the devil can kill it, he can't. You know why? Because the church is never going down. It's always going up. And the more times that God's church was persecuted, let me tell you what happened. It began to grow and it began to prosper. You say, why has God got America on hard times and the church in hard times? The church has never been better as to when it was persecuted, because then it began to multiply and grow. Tonight, don't think it's strange you're going through some fiery trial tonight, because God puts you in those things so you'll grow. Paul was expressing that to Timothy. Paul embraced his call. Paul knew he had a call on his life. Paul got saved in Acts chapter number 9. Great light shone around about him. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said it was hard for him to kick against the pricks. Let me tell you what, Paul got saved. And Paul got, he had embraced his call to salvation. And he got saved. He got gloriously born again. And Paul was greatly used. Wrote over half the New Testament because God called a man. He not only expressed his charge, he embraced his call. I'm glad tonight God called everybody in this building to salvation. I'm glad April the 8th, 1998, God placed His hand on me. He's been dealing with me for the month. I can look back at my pattern. It was just like Paul's. Just like he rolled the top off that building and shined the light on me and said, you need to be saved. And I called out for Him. I'm glad God saved me. Not only did Paul embrace his call to salvation, Paul embraced his call to service. You say, what do you mean? Paul was God's apostle to the Gentiles. He was God's call. I tell you what he wanted to do. He wanted to go after those Jews. But God called Paul to go after the Gentiles in Acts chapter number 9. And Ananias went down to the street called Straight. And I tell you what he did. So Ananias didn't want to even mess with Paul. He thought Paul was going to do some kind of trickery and try to kill him. How many of y'all would like to line up and say, I'm going to go down there and get the Apostle Paul? They thought it was a trick. But Paul got saved. He got born again. He embraced his call to salvation, but he embraced his call to service. I'm glad God just didn't call us to be saved. He called us to serve. And there's no greater joy that you'll have in your life than serving God. I found that to be true in all aspects of my life. When I thought it was the hardest to serve God, God always opened my eyes to a bigger blessing because I served Him and did what He told me to do. And I'll tell you what, you'll never serve God out of convenience. You'll say, I'll serve God when it's convenient for me. It'll never be convenient. But I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be the biggest blessing that you'll ever have in your life to serve God the way He wants you to. and let God deal with your life and get God deal with your heart. And then you can say, come back with the biggest blessing. There's been a time when I didn't have time to help somebody. I didn't have time to go by and see somebody, but I did. And I took that time out, and I tell you what it was. It was the biggest blessing in my life, and I would have missed it if it wouldn't, if I thought it was going to be convenient. Let me say, serving God is not always going to be convenient. Paul found it was not always convenient to serve Him, but he always embraced His call. Paul was God's apostle to the Gentiles. Paul went on missionary trips. Paul was a great man of God. He said, I stayed in the fight and I finished right because he embraced his call. I want to say thirdly, not only did he embrace his call, I want to say this tonight, he endured his conditions. You see, Paul didn't, he didn't get to where he was because he didn't go through anything. I'm here tonight to tell you that it's not all going to be downhill. It's not always going to be smooth sailing in this Christian race. Paul said, if you're going to finish this thing right, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to endure your conditions. You see, because there's going to be stuff going on around you that you can't control. And God has, Himself has orchestrated the things going on around you. And it may not be conditions that it suits you the way that you think you ought to be suited, but I'm going to tell you what it'd do. It'd do you good to endure those conditions because God can turn them into the biggest blessings. Enduring your conditions. You say, what do you mean? Look what he said in verse number 5. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. He was telling Timothy, this is his dying words. This is the last words of a dying man. I'd say those are important, aren't they? I remember my mother was passing away, and every night I'd go down and see her. I knew she was getting close to the point of death. And I'd go down there, and everything she said, you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to listen to it. And Paul was giving Timothy those last instructions. He was giving him his dying words. He said, endure afflictions. I'm going to tell you tonight, afflictions are coming to your house and they're coming to my house. And there's no way to avoid it. But let me tell you what Paul did. He said, no matter what came his way, he was stoned, shipwrecked, beaten. I'll read the verses here in a minute. But he endured his conditions. In 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11 and verse number 24, listen to what Paul went through. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all those things that were without, that which cometh to me daily, care of all the churches. Let me tell you what, Paul endured his conditions. The Lord Jesus Christ endured his conditions. Paul endured pain. He endured people. Look what it says in our text down in verse number 10. Let's get verse number 9. Paul endured people around him. Look what it said. It said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable me for the ministry. Paul put up with people. You say, I love serving Jesus if it was only me, but I'll tell you what, these people around me. Any of y'all ever thought that? Say, it's easy to serve Jesus as long as they love Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, even tonight, everybody don't love Jesus the way you love Jesus. But you know what Paul said? He said, no matter what situation God placed me in, I endured my conditions. And when people were hanging up against me and people walked and turned away from me and left me, guess what I did? I didn't get out of the race just because they left me. He said, I stayed in this thing. I stayed in the fight and I finished it right. Paul said, I endured my conditions. I'm here tonight to challenge you to endure your conditions. Why? Because they'll get better. If you stay in this thing long enough, God will do things in your life, and He'll take things that are what now that may be bothering you or something that even with people, and He'll move them out of your life. God, let God move people out of your life. I say that because I can tell you of a story right now. I've said it before. I remember one time there was somebody that we would promise we'd do an event for them, and we told them we wouldn't serve alcohol. So we're not going to serve alcohol at this event. And I said, if you bring alcohol in here, I said, we're out of here. I said, as soon as I see somebody come in, and I knew it was going to happen, and it was up to me to figure out what I was going to do. And I had to put my line in the sand. I mean, I hate to be honest, but I had to put a line in the sand and said, if you cross that line, we're out of here. And we're here to serve, but if you cross that line, we're out of here. And guess what? It happened. You know what we did? I told him, I said, pack it up, let's go. And right in the middle, reception line, people eating, doing whatever they did, we were packing the food up. My people was trying to scoop it in, we was packing it up. Why? Because there's a line drawn in the sand. You say, what happened with that situation? I still love that man. I met that man the other night. We hugged his neck. God will move people in and out of your life, but do what's right in His eyes, not what the people want you to do. Paul endured his conditions. He put up with pain. He put up with people. Paul put up with a past. I'm here tonight to tell you we've all got a past that haunts us. And there's some things I've done in my past I wish I could never, ever think about. But the devil will make sure I always think about it. Can I get a witness right there? Paul was a man that had a past. And Paul had to endure his condition with his past. You say, what kind of... He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul had a pedigree a mile long. Paul was, no doubt, if any man could keep the law, it would be the Apostle Paul. But Paul had a past. No, think about this. Paul, on those missionary trips, as he went out to preach, no doubt some of the people that he was preaching to, some of his family members, were some of the people that he had gotten taken off and stoned and beaten. And no doubt as Paul began to preach, probably people come up to him after the service. I'm using my imagination here and said, some of those people he was preaching to, no doubt, when he went down to Rome and he preached, no doubt some of those people come up to him and said, Paul, I remember when you came in and you took my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, and you took them and beat them. But he, no doubt tonight, I'm glad God has forgiven you. And then they probably said, I'm glad God saved you. But Paul had a past. No doubt as Paul began to preach to people, and even Demas had left him, said he loved this, he forsook him, and having loved this present world, no doubt Paul had those hounds of the devil of his past. And I wish tonight that we didn't have that, but I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm glad God knows how to handle our past. I'm glad He's cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And the Bible said He's got them as far as the east as the west. And the Bible also says this, that He chooses not to remember our sin anymore. You say, why are you so glad about that? I'm glad you asked. I got a set of keys in my pocket. You know what I do a lot of times? I'll set them down. You know what I do? I'll say, man, where did I lay them keys? And it may not take but 10 minutes and I'll be done forgot where I left them. But you know what? After looking around and after searching around, I said, man, I remember where those things are. I laid them right there on that pew. And I go and pick them up. God said, I choose not to remember them anymore. You know why? Because He put them under the blood of Christ tonight. And I'm glad tonight, even though I've got a bad past, I'm glad God took care of my past. I'm glad Paul, when he got up, no doubt that past will come up to haunt him. He said in the book of Philippians, he had to put that stuff behind him. Press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight my sins are gone. They're under the blood. I'm forgiven tonight. Paul endured his conditions, not only with pain and people in his past, but he also learned how to persevere. Look down in verse... What do you mean by that? Paul, he learned how to persevere in wherever God put him. I remember I took a class in college, and it was one of the most interesting classes I ever taken. The lady taught us about health. I mean, she really did. The lady that was teaching it was probably 60 years old, but she looked like she was 20. And I said, she found the fountain of youth. And I was interested in finding the fountain of youth myself, but I didn't find it. It didn't look like. But she taught us this. She said, you know why those bodybuilders go and work out? They said, they make their muscles bigger. She said, you know how that happens? She said, as the muscles, as they began to work out, those muscles began to tear. And as those muscles began to tear, as the body, through its cells and through its rebuilding process, would dispatch proteins and nutrients into that muscle. And as that muscle began to heal up, but that tear became stronger. and it became bigger. And that's how those muscles became to get larger and larger. Paul said he had to persevere. Things that was once a tear in his life began to heal back up, and now they were better than they were before. And I can be a witness of that tonight. Things that I thought was never going to be, that was broken down, shattered in pieces, and never thought that could be mended, God put it back together again. But not only did He put it back together again, He built it up better than it was before. And He made it stronger than it was before. And I'm glad tonight God knows how to make us endure our conditions. Not only did He endure His conditions, I want to say this. He evangelized His community. Look in verse number 5 in the second part. He said, "Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." No doubt wherever Paul went, he went to preach. Paul didn't care where he was. Paul didn't have a big coliseum. He didn't say, "I'm going to wait till I got 500 members at a church to preach." You know what he did? He took every opportunity that no doubt when people come up to him, he said, "Well, let me tell you about Jesus." And he began to preach to them. Paul was in jail. Most people don't want to preach in jail. Paul had him a jail ministry. I remember over in Acts chapter number 16, in the midnight hour, wherever Paul was, he began to preach. He evangelized his community. You say, who was his community? His community was anybody that was around him. If he was in a jail cell by the Apostle Paul, you know what he was going to hear? He was going to hear about Jesus. He was going to hear singing. He was going to hear praises. No doubt if he was preaching to 1,000 or if he was preaching to 1, Paul was preaching Jesus. He evangelized his community. And I'll finish with this thought tonight. I stayed in the fight and I finished right. Paul expressed his charge. He embraced his call. He endured his conditions. He evangelized his community. But I want to say lastly, he ended with his crowns. Look what it said in verse number 6. It says, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is hand." Talking about the last words of a dying man here. He said this. He said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And here it is. He ended with his crowns. He said, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them also that love His appearing." Let me say, Paul was ready to die. You may be in here tonight. I got a question for you. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered." Paul could answer that with certainty. Paul said, "If I laid down in death tonight, I know I'd be in heaven." I challenge you tonight, if you don't know where you'd be, you can be saved tonight. Paul was ready. Not only was he ready, he had some marks. He said, "I fought a good fight." He said, not only did he fight a good fight, he finished it. I'm here tonight to tell you to finish this race that God. You see, God has put a race before each one of us. Not saying we're on a NASCAR track, because I'm going to tell you what, my track may seem like it's in circles, but I'm going to tell you what, it's uphill and downhill and all around. It ain't some straight line. But let me tell you what Paul said. He said, "I finished mine." He said this also. He said, "I kept the faith." He had some dying remorse. He said, that's some strong words. He said, "I kept the faith." Not only that, he had some rewards laid up for him. He said this. He said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing." Paul said there were some rewards laid up. And not to say that Paul ran this race to win rewards, because I can tell you, he wouldn't get... I'll tell you what we're going to do with our rewards. We're going to cast them at Jesus' feet when we get there. Why? Because I'm going to tell you what, once we see Him, all that stuff that He may give you, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory or whatever, but I tell you what, it won't be nothing to His glory when we see Him. You say, why should I run this thing right tonight? We got some children downstairs that need to have a mom and daddy that will run this thing right. We got some aunts and uncles that need to see nephews and nieces saved. Not only that, we got grandmothers and granddaddies that we want to see saved. We got children that we want to see saved. You know what? We need to stay in the fight so we can finish right. Paul said to Timothy, he said, I'm out of this thing. I'm fixing to lay my eyes down in death. He said, if I could tell you one thing tonight, he'd say this. I stayed in the fight and I finished right. I thank you for your attention tonight. if we stand to our feet.